Hi everyone, this is Matt. It has been a while, but it is good to record another post finally. This one is called The Greatest, Deepest Pleasure. There's something about that word, pleasure, isn't there? I think it's been absolutely hijacked by the sensual and the erotic. And even though we all know it plainly belongs there, I think it's a word worth engaging on an even more basic level. Which is to say that don't worry, this website will remain safe for work, at least one more post. Pleasure is hardwired into us. Obviously, that's not a new insight, but what we do with the desire for pleasure has been discussed for centuries by people much smarter than me. And it seems to me that on the two ends of the spectrum, the pursuit for pleasure is often encouraged exclusively, hedonism, or type of hedonism, and or it's shunned and shamed, anti-hedonism, which I think amounts to a denial of our very basic self. And of course, I've come to believe that neither is very healthy. Recently, I read about a person named Jean Vanier. Jean Vanier is a humanist, a philosopher, and a theologian, and he's founded a number of homes called L'Âche, where people with disabilities and those without live together in community. He's been invited to speak in Rome, in Geneva, in Toronto to both religious and secular organizations. He's given a series of lectures at Massey Hall, which were aired on CBC's Ideas. There's a link in the post here. And he's a recent recipient of the Templeton Prize, whose past recipients include Mother Teresa, Desmond Tutu, and the Dalai Lama. His quick and dirty biography is certainly inspiring, but he's not one that I would expect would speak so excitedly about pleasure. But that's what comes ringing through to me in his interview with Krista Tippett. It's not a shaming or a shunning of the desire for pleasure, but the all-important question of where, what activity will give the greatest, deepest pleasure. And those are his words. And that acknowledgement of the greatest and deepest pleasure is, I think, the real trick here. So a story. My wife is a vegetarian, and when I first met her, when I was first with her, I found many of her dishes to be a little bland. I really enjoy the taste of meat, and so when she first slaved over a small kitchenette in Banff, where we lived, to create an apricot and walnut couscous dish, I smiled politely, I ate small bites, and when asked what I thought of her dish, I attempted to answer diplomatically, yet truthfully, that it was good, just a little bland for my liking. And it has taken roughly 10 years for us to bury that particular hatchet. I will never outlive those words. So fast forward to about a week ago, someone I work with was trying to limit the meat in their diet after realizing that their average plate was comprised of little else and having some health concerns. I was excited, but also a bit ashamed to recall that our go-to dishes in the past week were slow-cooked lentils on toasted buns, vegetarian sloppy joe, chickpea quesadillas, Nasi goreng, which sounds fancy, but is really just fried rice topped with egg and pickle. And I might be butchering the name. It might be Nasi goreng. Who knows? And my personal favorite, I sheepishly ventured, was our version of a glory bowl. Brown rice, beans with smoked tofu, covered with thinly sliced lettuce, red peppers, diced tomatoes, heirloom, if we're fortunate enough, cucumbers, and topped with salsa. I realized that to a dish, they were all simple creations. There were no more than 5 or 6 ingredients each, and they all highlighted the individual ingredients present. I apologized, realizing that what I had really come to appreciate was the simple pleasure of each grain and vegetable. Now, let me be perfectly honest. I also love the heavy cream of a butter chicken, or the pho soup that has at its base a broth that has been simmering for hours. Or even the hot dog on the street corner covered in diced onions and sauerkraut and grainy mustard. And don't even get me started on taco trucks. Seriously, how could anyone even try to imply that a taco truck on every corner is a bad thing? As my friend posted on Facebook, he said, if there was a taco truck on every corner, I would visit America much more often. But a simple meal with my family where I enjoy the natural taste of each ingredient, this has been an analogy to deep pleasure. The first one that came to mind. And it's also true that this pleasure has been a long time in coming and forming. Jean Vanier's reflection and my realization about the meals I now enjoy have led me to the belief that it's not an absence of pleasure we need, it's actually more. But it's also the discipline to discover and work towards that question, what is the greatest, deepest pleasure that I long for? Because obviously I think it's good to enjoy the pleasure of the tomato grown in your garden, or the simple nutty texture of the short grain brown rice, or the simple crunch of the cucumber. But let's be honest, I don't get there without a little bit of discipline. I don't get there if I'm gorging myself on poutine and chicken wings every night. Side note, I often joke with Nadine that if she ever left me, things would go one of two ways. I would either hit the gym hard and become obsessed with my physical appearance, which I currently am not, to attract as many people as possible, or a steady diet of poutine slash chicken wings slash ice cream sundaes. And I think we all know that the former is much more likely. No, it's the latter. The latter is the second one. The latter is much more likely. On a second side note, I'd pretty much just live at the Costco cafeteria because they got all those things. Back on point. Writing is another example of this deeper, greatest pleasure. I love writing, except when I hate writing, which is a lot of the time. And more precisely, I hate feeling like I have something inside of me that needs to come out in my writing, and then throwing it away after an hour or two of typing, and feeling more frustrated than I began. Recently, I've started trying to take one consistent day a week for recreation and resting. I work shift work, I'm a nurse, so it's hard to nail down a Sabbath slash day of rest slash day of play. But I've been made aware of the important work by Brené Brown that has surfaced on those who live wholeheartedly. And if you're not tracking on Brené Brown's work, it's amazing. Simply put, the wholehearted play, and they find ways in their life to express themselves creatively. And so being that I often have 3 or 4 days off in a row after working 3 to 5 12-hour shifts, I've decided that my third day off will be a rest day. And on that day, I can get together with friends for coffee, read, exercise. I can, I'm not saying I do. Play video games, binge Netflix, and I can write. And honestly, a lot of days I mostly write. Why? Because right now, that is my deepest and greatest pleasure. It touches something in where I want to go, what I want to be doing. And it takes a good amount of discipline because I'm just starting out and most days I'm not happy with it. And I can't possibly do it while listening to music or watching Netflix or playing video games, as fun and as pleasurable as those activities are. And look at the sum of Jean Vanier's life. Numerous vibrant communities, a celebrated speaker and author, awarded prestigiously, and if we believe him, all following his deepest and greatest pleasure. Now, he could be lying, of course, but do a quick image search on the guy. I challenge you to find a picture of the man through the ages, because he's been working with Mother Teresa and in the public eye for ages, where his eyes are not beaming. And most pictures have a huge smile, and I think that's great. And when you consider that the thing that makes you come alive, the thing that is most pleasurable, might also be good for you, might also be good for everyone around you, man alive, man, that sounds pretty damn great.